Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. Welcome back to Secular Yakking. I've had a great weekend. How about you?
I have.
Good.
I love the cooler weather.
Yeah, the cooler weather certainly helped a lot.
Yes, it was long needed. However, not much rain out of it, which we are in such a deficit for.
Right. So that's been great fun. But I think we should get on to the news.
Most definitely.
Okay. So this weekend, I was informed that the city of Irvine, California, will be considering an In God We Trust sign in their chambers. The original motto project has sent them an email with the E Pluribus Unum resolution, hoping that they will consider that as well.
And you haven't heard back from them yet?
Well, it was a Friday. It's pretty early.
Well,
on
okay. Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, not only that, I made some contacts with some citizens in Irvine, and a couple people are going to go speak at the council chambers.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, they were pretty excited. Well, not excited, but pretty pissed off about it, actually.
Right.
So hopefully we get
riled up.
Yeah, I'm going to try and listen to it today or tomorrow, because the public portion of their council meeting begins at 5 p.m. Tuesday. And if you live in Irvine, near Irvine, or know anybody in that area, it's going to be at One Civic Center Plaza. And the item is last on the agenda.
Of course it is. Now, this is in California?
This is California. Okay. Orange County, California.
It's a little far for us.
Yeah, I can't quite make that drive. But if you do go, make sure you get a speaker's card, because they won't let you speak without it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's different from the ones we've done.
Right. We've just had to sign up before.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
so
that's right.
It's kind of the same thing, but you have to do the whole sign-up process.
Right. Weird.
And in other In God We Trust news, Bay County, Florida Sheriff's Office has added bumper stickers to all the deputies' vehicles with In God We Trust on it.
I still find that kind of crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's just weird.
Yeah.
But the stickers were provided by a private group. And again, the Original Motto Project has contacted the sheriff offering to provide a similar number of E Pluribus Unum stickers.
Right, which, you know, all or none kind of thing, I suppose.
Right. So if they get to put In God We Trust on their official county vehicles,
right,
then, and they're provided by a private group, then shouldn't we have the same access as a private group?
Right. I kind of foresee them just taking it all away, because I don't foresee their official cars with, like, tons of bumper stickers, you know?
I know. It's going to look like a NASCAR.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know? I mean,
who's going to support that?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. So if anything, they'd be more than likely to just not have bumper
well,
stickers.
Well, the problem is we can't necessarily do anything about it, because it is our motto. We don't have a leg to stand on and say, can you remove this?
Right.
So what we have to do is say, can you put ours on too?
Right.
Because it's historical. It's our original motto.
Well, they might need a refresher on that.
Well, they probably will.
Yes.
But I'm going to see if there's anybody in Bay County, Florida.
Right.
That wants to help with this.
Right, because right now, you know, they don't realize that was the original motto, because all they see is In God We Trust on money, and, you know, especially the money. The money's like the biggest thing. And
right. There's
so many out there who don't realize that wasn't always there.
Well, and then we still have E Pluribus Unum on the money, so they can't use that argument either.
Good point. But everyone always just seems to focus on the In God We Trust part on the money. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I did notice that. And what's weird is even within the secular community, I get a little pushback on this.
Really?
From E Pluribus Unum. Like, well, what do we need an old Latin phrase on there for?
Really?
And then I say, well, it means out of many one, and I explain to them a little bit. And say, oh, yeah, let's go with that.
Exactly. I have noticed, as you say that I've heard that as well. They, you know, at first were like, well, I don't want Latin, and, you know, foreign language, whatever. But then when they find out what it actually means and its history behind it, it makes complete sense. It's all-encompassing, which is what America stands for.
Right. So, yeah, just those are two big things that came up late this week, and I thought we would talk about them.
You haven't heard anything yet, right?
No, I haven't.
Too soon.
Yeah. Like I said, I'll be contacting people in the local area to see if we can get some assistance on that Bay County, Florida thing, because that's pretty big. That, they're not the only ones. Florida's got a couple other counties have done it.
Right.
I'll be sending them emails as well later.
Yes, of course you will. Very busy.
Yes.
The Humanists of North Puget Sound is proud to welcome Shelley Siegel to Everett's own Fireville Community Coffee House.
Shelley is a global presence in the atheist movement and a genre-defying singer-songwriter. An atheist album brought her into the spotlight, and now she's coming to Everett, Washington.
Come enjoy her melodic vocals, heartfelt passion, and thought-provoking lyrics on August 17th at the Firewheel Community Coffee House, 2727 Colby Avenue in Everett, Washington at 7 p.m. Go to meetup.com/humanistmps for more info.
What happened to all the background noises that told me I...
So that's really awesome. We're going to have Shelley Siegel here in Everett.
Yes, I'm looking very forward to that, as well as many here in the Seattle area know her and have seen her and listened to her. I'm sure they'll be excited for finding this out.
And that whole week, she'll be touring the Pacific Northwest, so she'll be in Tacoma. She'll be in Tri-Cities.
That's correct. I forgot.
I think she's doing a show in Seattle. I'm not sure of her exact schedule yet, but definitely check out her website. All that stuff will be up there eventually.
Right. So you have multiple chances, if certain dates don't work for you, to try it again.
Right. And that way, people from Tacoma don't have to go all the way up to Everett.
Right.
People from Everett don't have to go all the way to Tacoma.
Right.
It's really nice that she's willing to do almost an entire week here in this area.
I think that's just absolutely awesome. And I really like the idea of not only, you know, several locations top to bottom, but the different dates, because, you know, it depends on people's schedules and whatnot. And this way they don't miss her if she's only here like one day kind of thing.
And ours is definitely an all ages event. It's at a wonderful little coffee house. And it sits about 30-ish.
Yeah.
So we've been there a few times. It's got nice tea there. I like the guy who owns it a whole lot. So
yeah.
It's going to be fun.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah. And she's going to be, I think she'll probably play a few songs from her new album, which is really cool. I really like that new album.
Oh, uh-huh.
So.
Now, is there like a place that they can look up, like if they can't get to the Everett one, if they get to the other ones, as far as dates or locations, do they have
probably
that yet?
Probably go to Shelley's website.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure the website, but I'll put it on the show notes.
Yeah, that way people can find
and then
it and look
as
it up.
I find them. As I know their dates and locations in this area, I'll start putting that on our page.
Oh, okay.
So that way anybody can go see Shelley, because I think everybody should go see Shelley.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome. She's real cool.
So earlier this week, we had an opportunity to yak with David Williamson about a pending lawsuit against Brevard County Council and the policy preventing atheists from giving invocations. And that's Brevard County, Florida. Again.
Thank you. I was just about to ask you that. That Florida. Meant Florida, because I lived there once.
Yeah,
so.
It's a really weird place. So we're going to play that interview right now.
David is the founder of Central Florida Freethought Community based in Orlando, Florida. Welcome, David.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for taking the time to yak with us today. So the first thing I wanted to do is to clear up for our listeners what exactly is an invocation, because that's kind of what we're talking about on the show today.
Well, sure. You know, for those people that don't know, that are fortunate to live in areas where they don't happen, or if they haven't had the pleasure of attending a, you know, 4 or 5 hour long county or city meeting, basically what's happened in many venues for years is a local clergy member will come and pray for those people at the meeting. The board, the commission will invite people in, or they will, you know, ask to be part of the ceremony, and they will do a short prayer between 30 seconds and 2.5 minutes before the meeting starts, and often it'll be preceded or followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. So it's been going on for quite a while in many jurisdictions, and some places are just adopting it and other places are abandoning it. A lot going on lately.
Right. Do you give invocations?
I have. I've done two of them and arranged for another, I think, 14 or 15 invocations. We've got two on the calendar for the next couple of weeks as well. So I try to make sure we share the love across the free thought community. I don't want to do all the work myself.
Right. I understand completely.
Yeah, he gets stuck doing a lot of the work on his own sometimes.
Yeah. And how are you qualified to give invocations? What makes you an invocator?
Well, there's really nothing required. You know, when the decision came down in May of last year from the Greece v. Galloway case, we were prepared to have secular clergy in case the Supreme Court somehow required or permitted exclusion of non-clergy members. So as part of the humanist society, as a secular, as a humanist celebrant, I have the same rights and privileges of religious clergy, and we were prepared for that. However, anybody can do this. It simply requires someone who's able to make a request and to speak on behalf of, you know, of humanism or atheism or secularism, in, you know, basically, which in which case means that they can speak on behalf of everybody, because our invocations, our secular invocations, are radically inclusive. Like, you know, the ones we've offered across Central Florida already are inclusive of all people, regardless of religion.
Well, that's excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I've actually seen a couple of your invocations. I do follow it pretty closely, being an invocator myself. So,
yeah. Well, the two goals that I think are most important when we're talking about doing secular invocations are educating elected officials, you know, the folks that are there on the board, and those in attendance and those viewing at home for those places where they have, you know, cable access or recorded versions of this, educating those folks about humanist values and about how a secular invocation can be inclusive and reflect the kind of sympathy towards the group that everyone should want to have, as opposed to a religious invocation. The other thing is normalizing the participation of non-believers in local government meetings is something that is sorely lacking. And when we have the type of piety that's demonstrated before many meetings in our area, and I'm sure all across the United States, you kind of feel like you don't belong. And by injecting a bit of rationalism through free thought groups participating, you know, you kind of normalize the fact that not everybody has a deity in their life, and not everybody believes in God or has to pray to be part of the community.
Right.
Yes, I agree completely with that.
Yeah. So you've recently become involved in a lawsuit. Can we talk about that?
Sure. As we were talking about before, the Grease v. Galloway decision came out in May of 2014, and we were prepared. We had started researching which local meetings had prayers, which local meetings had clergy doing those prayer versus the commissioners themselves doing those prayers. And, you know, we can get deep into the weeds of the legality of all these things, but we targeted the low-hanging fruit first, the places where they actually had welcome invites for anybody to participate, where they were just putting the word out on a website or in an email, just come and do an invocation. We went and grabbed those opportunities, and we invited ourselves to participate. They were very welcoming. And others across Central Florida were. A few have ignored us, but in one case, our first and second letters, our first letter was ignored, and our second letter was followed by a unanimous vote in Brevard County in last summer to completely reject our request based on our lack of belief in God and no other qualification whatsoever. The fact that we were a free thought group and we focused on separation of church and state, you know, these things all added up to, well, you don't believe in God, so you don't belong here. And that's been going on for almost a year now. And after another letter from the Anti-Defamation League in support of our request, as well as two from Americans United, once we got together with them, as well as the ACLU, to try to resolve this, we've requested five times, and three times now the Brevard County Commissioners have voted unanimously to reject us simply on the basis of our religion under the law, which atheism and humanism is a protected religion under the law.
Right. And you mentioned Grease versus Galloway. How does that play in with this particular case?
Well, the decision in Grease v. Galloway actually cited atheists as people that could give an invocation in the town of Grease. And we take that to mean, and our attorneys take that to mean, that there's no way that they can exclude us because we don't have a religious belief in a God. So the Grease decision muddied the waters in some ways, but it certainly clarified that no one can be excluded regardless of what their religion is. And we're taking the Brevard County Commission to task for not permitting us to do that. And we'll be following up on a few other local jurisdictions who have kind of ignored us over the last year. In fact, one local jurisdiction, the city of Sanford, has changed the name of their invocation to legislative prayer, as if somehow that will allow them to exclude us as well. So we're gonna keep working on this, and Brevard has given us an opportunity, I think, to either set some precedent or to make it clear that this is not something that's a defensible position.
It definitely sounds like you're going to be very busy.
We are. We've been busy, and we could probably have done twice as many invocations and been involved in many other jurisdictions around the state and beyond, but it's so hard to rally folks to do these types of things. There's not a lot of people attending these meetings, and most people don't know that it's going on until it hits the news.
Yes, we see that around here as well.
Yeah, we've got four or five cities up here in the Northwest that still do it, a couple counties that still do it. I've given invocations at those. I just found out today that Washougal, Washington does it. I don't know if I'm going to head down there or not. But It's okay. The same kind of thing. Well, I haven't had as much pushback up here as you have, which is interesting. Well, not exactly interesting. It's expected up here being a little more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, well, we had about 20, give or take a few, 20 jurisdictions locally. A few of those, I think maybe four, we've done invocations twice, and we're about to do our first invocation in a couple of stragglers here in the next few weeks. And we've been back into several, and we're going to keep doing this. I think we want to make it a habit, and we certainly want to make sure we're part of the process. It's been disappointing in some ways. It's been very rewarding in others. This has kind of been a rallying cry for a lot of local secularists who are interested in making sure that our rights are preserved, and also for many people who do want to see that you know, we have equality in this process and be involved in local government meetings without any discrimination.
Yeah, you guys are definitely a big inspiration for, I think, most of the country who's dealing with this. There's quite a few cities and counties and state legislatures that still have prayers before meetings. And I think the work you guys are doing down there is really amazing and really opening up some eyes, especially with cases like this. So I wanted to talk a couple of specifics about the resolution, and I'll have the link to that in the show notes so everybody can read it. But there are two sections specifically. First is point 7, which says, in Brevard County, the faith-based community is a minority component of the larger majority community represented by the Board of County Commissioners. So I realize this is the Space Coast, right? And is that an accurate? They said it's something like 40% are actually religious in that area?
It was amazing to read. I think it's about a 12-page resolution. Well, most of it's background. The resolution is fairly brief, but they truly embarrass themselves in some ways. They talk about how, as you said, they qualify the number of religious people in the county the way we would qualify, kind of a liberal estimate of the number of non-believers.
Right.
So what they did was they used a website called City Data. I think it's city-data.com, which is really good. It's got a lot of different data, but they don't use Pew or the American Religious, the ARIS survey. I can't remember the acronym.
Right.
They actually use church attendance. So they're saying because 34% of the population attends church, which is apparently lower than other counties in that area, that's the number of religious people, and they're a minority. So if they were to support an invocation to be offered by an atheist or a humanist, that would be an endorsement of atheism and humanism, and it would be hostile to the religious people of the county. It was extremely laughable. But again, I probably study this a lot more than the board does. Religious statistics is something that I kind of keep track of, and they may just have grabbed the first thing that they saw. But it's kind of funny to see that they call themselves a minority.
Right. I found that very, very annoying, actually, that they're calling themselves a minority in that county. I mean, this is the first time I've heard the argument that we're the minority, so we should get the right to pray.
Hey, let's eat it up. Eat it up, Robert. Just love not being the minority for a little while. Doesn't that feel good?
It does. I mean, that's really weird. But like I said, it's the first time I've actually heard this argument put this way.
Right.
It just boggled my mind when I read that the other day. I was like, how in the world are they making this argument when everybody else is making the argument we're in the majority, so we get the right to say what everybody does? Now they're saying we're in the minority, so we get the right to say what everybody does. I was just flabbergasted by it.
Right. It's odd. You know, we all live in an echo chamber, at least most of us that kind of do this thing. So I certainly don't want to assume that they've lied with statistics here. I just think they haven't done their homework quite well enough, and I certainly think that of the attorney advising this board. And on several occasions, he's spoken by request of the council to clarify that he sees the Greece decision as one that allows him, as an attorney, to read that they should exclude us, in fact, segregate us into the public comment period where all the other people come and talk about, you know, potholes and stoplights and zoning questions. So they actually noted in the last page of that since the board involves themselves in secular issues during part of the meeting, that's where we should be. And it sounds like they're saying, but for a few minutes at the beginning of the meeting, we're going to discard reason and ethics and have a prayer, you know? So it was quite an interesting read. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, but there was a lot of laughs through it.
Yeah, I mean, this whole resolution feels a whole lot like a back of the bus kind of thing.
That's exactly what I was going to say. The first thing that came to my mind when I read this was segregation. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're saying it's a separate but equal situation.
Yeah, you can be heard, but you got to sit up in the balcony.
Yeah.
Or you can at least there, but you have to sit in the balcony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hemet Mehta pointed that out. We've been talking about that since last August. In fact, Joseph Richardson, one of our directors of the organization, he used that argument when we spoke to the board last year. And I explained that to the media the other day, and one channel picked up on it. And I think it's going to be an important point, is that, you know, allowing us to have the same rights, but in a different place, you know, or a different time, it smacks absolutely as separate but equal. And I think that's something that'll make this into a bigger story, and hopefully will get people's attention.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a big, big selling point to get that media attention.
Yes.
So I also know that you're involved in a project relating to invocations. Would you like to talk about that a bit?
Yeah. So, you know, we had put together a database about 4 years ago to try to track how the invocations were going in different towns. This was a project that didn't get too far off the ground, but it was in regards to the previous Supreme Court guidance that was not allowing sectarian invocations to occur, and that was just violated probably, you know, from day one. Christian invocations, Jewish invocations, Mormon, all the different religions are having invocations that are specific to their own prayer, and we were trying to start documenting that so that we could pursue it. That didn't get off the ground before the Grief v. Galloway case started working its way through the courts. So we picked this back up again last spring, and you were involved in that in a way, Robert, and I appreciate your involvement. But it's called invocationsonline.com, and it's a website where we have a graphical representation of those areas that we are monitoring to see what type of people, what type of religions are being represented in these invocations. The one that we gave out this week was the page for the location of Brevard County, where you can see that well over 90% of the invocations are Protestant in a county which, as we know from the religious data, that is actually a lot better than the city data that we talked about earlier. They talk about how, you know, a quarter of the population more or less are nuns, a quarter is Protestant, a quarter is Catholic, and a quarter of the rest. And you can see that graphical representation and the stark contrast in every jurisdiction almost that we are doing an inventory of. So we're tracking those, and we've got volunteers that are paying attention in places like Brevard, Orange County, Orlando, other places. And it's a great site to be able to track what's going on in your area. And we're looking for volunteers right now in Central Florida to help us add more cities to that.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I was on there earlier today, and I was like, this thing is amazing. It's way better than, you know, I ever imagined. So you guys did an awesome job on that. I mean,
well, we had a good team of folks, and I'm really proud of it. I hope it actually does some good. I think it's a great website from my perspective, but I hope that the media pick up on it and enjoy that representation of data. So
right, if somebody does want to volunteer for that, especially if they live in Central Florida, who do they contact? Where do they go to get a hold of you do that?
Sure. So you can reach out directly to me, but there's also a contact us page, a volunteer page on the invocationsonline.com website. So take a look at that and see if that's something that you're interested in, and be in touch, and we'll certainly be glad to put you to work monitoring. And it takes, you know, just a few minutes to put that data in there. Most of the time, in most of these civilized towns and counties, you can actually get this data off the internet. You don't have to attend meetings, but in some cases, small jurisdictions, you may have to attend a meeting to see what kind of prayer was offered, whether or not they told people to stand, just some basic questions about what we want to know about these invocations, and we'd love to have some volunteers.
Yeah, that sounds great. If I were there, I would definitely be volunteering for you down there.
You most definitely would.
So are there plans to make this this database bigger? I mean, that would be quite an undertaking, but, you know, do you guys have any ideas for that at some point in time?
You know, we want to make sure that it's actually paying off. There is an investment involved, not just the time that the team put into it, which is tremendous. But, you know, there are costs involved with hosting this data and having the ability to interface with the public, in not just in the front end where they can see the data, but in the back end where our volunteers enter this data through a database. So there's a cost involved, and we want to make sure that it's used in not just the Brevard case, but in other places as well. So if it pays off, if people like it, and if we can, you know, financially support it, then we would definitely want to expand it. Just want to make sure it's worthwhile before we get too big.
Right. Yeah, I certainly understand that. I know getting too big for your britches before you're ready.
Yeah, you have a tendency to do that often, actually.
Yeah, I do. But sometimes it pays off. So if people want to give invocations, do you have in their cities or their counties, do you have any advice for them?
I think if people want to give invocations, I'd say that you want to get some guidance from a couple of different places. You can just jump in and get to it, but there are some resources out there at the American Humanist Association, at Americans United. Both of those folks have put packages together last summer and spring, and I think the Freedom From Religion Foundation as well, that kind of guide through that process. And there are some tips and tricks, and I wrote an article that you can link to at thehumanist.com last year about the benefits of doing this and a little bit of the, you know, kind of the precautions. So I'll provide that link to you so you can share that with your listeners.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'll put all those in the show notes. I know the Humanist Society gives pretty good resources for that, so I'll put that in there too.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Humanist Society as an adjunct of the American Humanist Association.
Right.
Thanks for clarifying that.
But yeah, that sounds great. I'm glad you guys are doing some amazing work down there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. I was just thanking you for having me on and for talking about this important issue. And I wanted to let folks know that in addition to those resources we talked about, the CFL Free Thought, the Central Florida Free Thought Community's website, cflfreethought.org, has a page where they can see over 50 secular invocations that have been offered all the way back since Herb Silverman did the first one he offered in 2003. So we're documenting those on our website from all across the country. So you can see the amazing and touching, very humanistic ones, all the way to the ones where we've got pagans praying and people saying Hail Satan. So there's a quite a variety of options to choose from there, and that's at our website.
Excellent. I'll make sure that's on the notes too. Yeah, I've watched a bunch of those before I did my invocation. They're quite an inspiration.
Well, we've got yours on there too, Robert, so thanks for contributing, and thanks for doing everything that you guys do. It's quite a sight to see so many organizations, local, state, and otherwise, picking up the pace and getting involved. And if people are interested in doing that, I can tell you that there are local organizations all over the country. We've got over 100 in Florida that we've identified that could use some help. So,
well, excellent. We'll definitely send what help we can. Again, best of luck on the lawsuit. We'll definitely be following it pretty closely.
Yeah, hopefully it'll go pretty quickly, but then again, there's some benefits to it turning into a legal precedent as well. So we'll keep you posted.
All right, that sounds great, David. Thanks again for being on the show, and we'll be talking to you soon.
My pleasure. Have a good day.
You too.
You too.
Well, that was an awesome interview with David.
Yes, that really was.
Yeah, they're doing some amazing work down there. Like I said, that Invocations Online thing, I was on that. There's so much information on there. I mean, they've got, I looked at Brevard County specifically, and they go back to, I think, 2010.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Pretty far back. So that's a lot of work.
Yeah, and it does sound like there needs to be a lot more people doing some invocations out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, people need to understand you don't have to have a specific title. You could just be anybody and go and do an invocation.
Right. So most of them say you have to be religious or something, but when you approach them, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've discovered that on several occasions. Just if your city county has invocations, apply to give one. It's not hard. It's usually 2 or 3 minutes of some inspirational speech or, like he said, pagans. I've seen flying spaghetti monsters. Someone quoted Harry Potter last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
So it was really good stuff. So
that was pretty good.
You know, it's not difficult if you can speak in public at all. Mm-hmm. Then go ahead and try.
Well, even if you can't, because honestly, you know, when we were younger 20 some odd years ago, you didn't even talk. Most people who were outside of our circle didn't think you really talked at all. Yeah, and
I was pretty much an introvert.
Yes, yes, you were very much so.
I'm technically still an introvert because I'm sitting behind a microphone.
Well, when we were kids, all the grown-ups around us just thought we were a fad because we were so different. You know, yeah, I was true. A talker, you weren't.
See, you complete me. See how that works?
Don't forget that.
I am an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
And yes, that brings us to the Mr. Potter Award.
Yes, indeed.
So this week's Potter Award goes to a former journalist and current city council member in Kennewick, Washington.
Oh, our own backyard this time.
Yeah, and what has he done to deserve such recognition? And that was my dog. How wonderful.
It was better when he was asleep.
Yes, it was. Well, back on track, we'll need to go back to January 2012. Then Tri-City Herald writer John Trumbo published an article about a curious sandstone formation found in Arizona. In this article, he wrote about Greg Morgan's pictures of some geologic formations that were published in the magazine Answers. And these pictures were obvious signs of waves and whirlpools that appeared to have been frozen in place.
Okay.
Morgan called these signature details for a global flood.
Wow.
Yeah.
So is that like the Cheez-Its toaster?
Yes. Yeah,
the grilled Cheez-Its.
So, yeah. So we know the sandstone gets laid down over time and it leaves patterns.
Of course.
Or things that our brain interprets as patterns. They're not really patterns. They're just gets laid down.
Yes, of course.
But that magazine Answers, guess who it's produced by?
Oh, let me guess.
Answers in Genesis. The owners of the Creation Museum and Ken Ham.
Oh, that's what I was just going to say.
So, but why did Trumbo write this article? Was it because a local geologist had found proof of Genesis' story?
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Well, he was certainly local, but not a geologist. He was a mechanical engineer with little or no training in geology.
Seriously.
But yeah, Trumbo never once asked an actual geologist. He did ask a scientist from the Creation Museum to verify these results. But, you know, as it turns out, Trumbo is a young earth creationist, and this is what we call confirmation bias.
Right.
Yeah, so much for journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
But like we've said so many times before, you need just a little bit more to qualify for this award.
They always seem to have a little more too, don't
yes,
they?
Yes, they always do. So in 2014, Trumbo managed to get elected to Kennewick City Council. I don't know how, but he did. And in September 2014, he attempted to introduce a resolution that would call for specifically Christian prayers at city council meetings.
Really?
As we learned from David earlier, this is a direct violation of SCOTUS' Greece versus Galloway decision that happened earlier that year. So he already knew about it. It's not like this was a surprise to him.
Right, yeah.
And while the council chose not to take up the resolution in a 6-1 vote, it exposed Mr. Trumbo for what he is. Right? And his exact quote was, as a Christian, I believe the truth always wins. I don't believe all religions are equal. Okay. Now, that's pretty bad, right?
Right.
But that's going to qualify you for serious contention. But we had a lot of stuff go on this week. So you needed a little more. And guess what?
He has it.
And it's just that little nudge that put him over the top on this one. He certainly delivered. Some of you may be familiar with the case of discrimination surrounding Arlene's flowers. If not, links will be provided in the show. But long story short, a florist refused to provide flowers for a same-sex wedding. The couple sued. Washington does include sexual orientation as a protected class. So the florist lost the case and was fined $1,000 in court costs plus $1 in damages.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So that's where we are with that case. And
right.
The owner is appealing, and there's some big issues going on with that. So we're just dealing with it because it's all about religious freedom and stuff like that.
Yes.
Different shows.
Right.
But Mr. Trumbo has introduced a resolution in the Kennewick City Council that is designed to show support for Arlene's flowers by having the city ask the Attorney General to drop the case because it violates the owner's freedom of conscience.
Are you kidding me?
I know. Freedom of conscience. Kind of weird, right? So, basically, he's just asked the city to endorse discrimination, tell business owners that they can break the law of Washington.
And that is just the request alone is kind of insane. I mean, why? I'm truly hoping that a city wouldn't go with this, because that is just a bunch of lawsuits looking to happen.
Right. So here's the sad part about this. The city, like next door, Pasco, has one of their council members, Bob Hoffman, putting this exact same resolution in.
Seriously.
Seriously. And wow. If I read it right, these are these resolutions are created by the Family Protection something. FPI is the name of their thing. They're the people that provided the legal representation for Arlene's Flowers.
Right, right.
So they're trying to get these passed so that businesses can legally
discriminate.
Right. So
yeah.
It's not a legal thing, right? It's an endorsement of it.
Right.
So they're not saying the law should be repealed. They're saying we're going to ignore the law and do what we want.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Right. But even if this doesn't pass, which is unlikely because he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of support in Kennewick City Council.
Well, I imagine in this area he wouldn't as well.
You got to remember, he's the east side of Washington.
Well, that is true. That's a whole nother world.
Yeah, so. that's like the south of the west.
Correct.
Yeah. So, but I have this odd feeling we haven't heard the last of him.
No, it surely doesn't sound like it.
And I'd like to thank Jennifer Goulet from the Tri-City Freethinkers for the amazing info she provided for this particular Potter Award.
Yes, which is very fitting.
Yeah. Well, she's heavily involved with this particular thing.
Oh, even more so. Yeah. Right.
And I knew that's why.
Right.
So that's why he's got the Potter Award for this week, and I think it's very well deserved.
Indeed.
Now, on to listener feedback. This is a new part of the show since we just got our first review on iTunes.
And we thought that, you know, since this is a new thing, we would share them with you guys from time to time. And this being our first one, our first listener had said, Amy and Robert got a good thing going with this podcast. I'm not good at reviews, but thanks so much to Skeletor for that awesome news. It was our very first feedback. And, you know, from time, we'll, you know, let you guys hear some of our feedbacks, good and bad. We are not biased. We're not just going to give you the beautiful stuff.
Well, I might.
Oh, I don't know. The ugly stuff can be fun. Yeah. I mean, it really can.
Yeah, it certainly is. And if you have feedback or just want to yak at us, you can leave us a voicemail, 704-802-9255, or send your fan mail, or hate mail, as the case may be.
Yeah, I like the hate mail,
to
too.
To podcast at secularyacking.com. You know, I made the name of the show, and I can't even say it right.
No, you really get tongue-tied.
Of course, you can always leave us a five-star review like Skeletor, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks again to David Williamson of the Central Freethought community for that awesome interview
from Florida.
Our production assistant today was our helpful daughter, Carrie. Pre-production was the other helpful daughter, Caitlin.
And that kind of is 2 out of 3, so that's not bad.
Well, we'll eventually get the other one.
We'll get the third eventually.
So until next time.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.